Already laughing.
Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about most embarrassing stories. And I have laughed all day on and off.
I know.
At the stories people have sent me. But my well, Matt, is this. Well, Matt, why is queso so good? Why is it so good?
I don't know. And why can I never make it at home?
It's so good. It's so creamy. Oh, it's so good. And then I double dip. I dip in the queso, let it drip, and then I dip in the restaurant salsa just for like a little layer effect.
You have like a whole system going.
Yeah, I do. I love it.
You know, that actually leads me to my good day.
Oh.
Is today we actually had something really fun happen for us. We've been together for a couple hours now.
I feel like it's been since you got off work.
Yes. We spent some time with our friends at Well Seasoned Table.
From Asheville, North Carolina?
Yes, the founder, owner, entrepreneur vision behind Well Seasoned Table, Sarah, is coming through town. She's meeting with farmers, seeing where salt mines are. She has all the things going.
Yeah, she's incredible.
And
she's incredible.
You have never met her in real life.
And
I've spent time with her before, but you have never met her before.
And she's the creator of Magic Garlic Dust, my favorite kitchen spice.
Well, you know, the thing about Magic Garlic Dust that some people may not remember or know is you actually have it written in your will that we will be sprinkling. Mm-hmm. Like some people might throw little handfuls of dirt.
Rose petals.
Roses.
Not me.
Yes.
Sprinkle me with magic garlic dust.
That's right. In a pine box.
I love that stuff.
I know. And I love spice of life. Oh, that's like my favorite.
I've not tried it, but Sarah said she'd send me some. So
it's so good.
We got to spend time with her.
Today she was coming through town, and then we went right to Mexican food with our friend Jody.
Yes.
Jody, her name on Instagram is Cattle Queen. She has a really cool job.
Very interesting job.
She works for like the agriculture department she travels around and meets with cattle people.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We clearly know a lot about this industry, but she travels the country and meets with people that are farmers.
Yeah,
and so she's in our area and we went and had dinner with her.
It was so fun.
And it was so great.
Was
and so,
so great.
You know, people don't just like breeze through Worcester. So to have two people
in one day
such a treat.
It was such a good day.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's what I want to say.
Say it.
If you are part of the pod,
yes,
and you are one of our friends,
yes,
and you love us and you listen to us, leave us a review.
Yes.
Come to Worcester anytime and we'll try to make it work.
Yeah, hit us up.
Yes, but we would love a review on Apple Podcasts is where you can leave that.
Or you can leave a star review on Spotify.
That's right.
But definitely hit us up, DM us. We'll meet you for coffee.
That's right.
One of our favorite spots in Worcester for coffee is Boo Bear's. Another spot is Sure House.
That's right.
Love them both.
What's your good day?
My good day is recently, and if you follow me on the gram, it's just my name, at Leanne Miller. If you follow me on Instagram, I already had somebody DM me and say, I know this is going to be your good day on the next podcast,
which
was sweet.
That.
And we started a new tradition with our youngest son and his housemates.
He's a landlord.
Our youngest son owns his home, and this home has 6 bedrooms, and 5 of his friends live with him. And so they are just a great group of guys, and I was down there recently just helping clean, and Daryl and I were working on some projects with Joey, and I said, why don't we start something new for the house called Sunday Family Dinner, and we'll do it once every 8 weeks. I got overzealous at the beginning of the idea, thinking once a month, but once a month comes around a lot faster.
It sure does.
And we invited all of them to do a plus one, which would be a total of like 14 people. And you know, when you cook for 14, that's a little different than cooking for two or four. So, we told them they could all do a plus one, and we had our first Sunday family dinner just recently, and it was so fun, and it was so worth it, and it was so good, and I just love getting people around the table who love and enjoy each other.
Well, here's the first question. What did you make for the inaugural?
The inaugural? Matt, you know what the one thing was. It's the thing my boys always request.
Mini cheddar meatloaves.
Yes, we had mini cheddar meatloaves, twice baked potatoes. We had glazed carrots that were delicious with some well-seasoned table stuff, spices, green dragon spice. And then Joey got a European style loaf of bread that was sourdough that Yum. Was delicious from a place called Dave the Baker in Columbus.
Dave
the Baker, if you are listening,
come on Dave.
Wonderful loaf of bread. And then for dessert, I made brown butter Rice Krispie treats, and they were delicious.
How have I never had these?
I don't know. That is a very good question.
I know. I don't know that I've tried these.
Browned a whole stick of butter. And then did a 16-ounce bag of marshmallows, a 10-ounce bag of marshmallows, mini marshmallows, and a whole box of Rice Krispies.
I support this.
And a little tiny blurb of maple syrup.
I 100% support this.
They were delicious. The boys were eating them warm. They were just grabbing them. Oh, it was so fun.
That is
so
awesome.
Yeah, that was my good day.
That's awesome. Hey, we've been laughing.
We have been laughing.
And listen, here's what I love about this is we asked our Instagram communities mm-hmm. to send us some of their mm-hmm. embarrassing stories. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about embarrassment and what that looks like in our life. But we wanted to laugh. And you know what's one of the best and hardest things about doing a podcast with one of your friends is we keep getting ready to tell our stories to each other. But we're like, save it for the podcast. So we don't know what the other person's going to say.
We don't know these stories. I'm just so looking forward to this podcast because there's some really good stories.
We asked our communities to say, send us your story that you'd be willing for us to share.
Yes.
So why don't you kick it off?
Okay. And I ask everyone, just I want to preface this. I ask everyone permission and if I could only use their first names.
Yeah.
And everybody said yes.
Yes.
So here's the first one.
Okay. I'm so excited.
This one's so funny. Okay. So...
You got to put on your peepers.
I got to put on my glasses in order to... Okay, this is from Sharon. Well, my most embarrassing thing that I ever said was one windy afternoon when my girls were getting off of the school bus. And I asked our very friendly bus driver how he spent his day. And he replies back, I spent it on the golf course. And I say in return, oh, I bet you were chasing your balls... I bet you were chasing your balls all over on this windy day. And he just laughed, and I just turned and walked away.
I love that. That is funny.
So good.
That is so funny. Okay, I'm going to tell you one of mine.
Okay.
Personal ones.
Okay.
Because it kind of, I had a theme in my inbox.
Okay.
So I've never told this before, and there are local people that are going to know some of the players in the story.
Okay.
And so if you work with me, please don't talk about it at work. You can wink at me 3 times to tell me you know what this is. But if we work together, don't bring this up.
Okay.
So I work in a place. There's one of the offices that I have meetings in. It's like a conference room with a glass window. And there was a meeting that ended, and I was still in the conference room, and there were people behind the glass window in another meeting in a different room. The door was open, but there was glass. It was a big, it's a big room.
Okay.
So I was sitting there, and I passed gas.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to be honest with
all right,
you.
Okay.
I passed gas
okay.
and I was sitting in this old chair, this old school chair that was molded plastic.
Okay.
And the way my back was arched against the chair, it actually made like a funnel of sound. It like a megaphone that was against my back, and it went.
Oh no. And they heard it.
And the people on the other side, I didn't think they would hear it. The people on the other side of the glass whipped their head around and looked at me. And I instinctively whipped my head and looked out the window. Like it was
something outside. I don't think you fooled any of them.
And they looked at me and they're like, Did you just try to pass that off as something happening outside and they caught me? And now my boss, every now and then, it was when Machine Gun Kelly, the music, he said that sounded like a machine gun coming out there. Oh, no. So every now and then he calls me Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, because that is so funny.
I squeaked one out.
So you're saying no one should come up and call you Machine Gun Kelly, but they can go, yeah, pew pew pew, or they can go like
it's more like it. That's
okay,
funny.
You ready for the next one? Okay, this is from Suzanne. At Chick-fil-A years ago with my best friend, I noticed that my dad's cousin was the hostess lady there, checking on customers, refilling drinks. I had not seen her in years. She recognizes me and heads my way, and I panic because I'm going to have to introduce her to my friend, and I cannot remember her name. Then I notice that she has on a name tag. Oh, I'm saved. So I very confidently introduced her to my friend as Mary. As I said it, I knew it didn't feel right. Then she laughs nervously and puts her hand over her name tag and says, oh, I left my name tag at home and I had to grab one not being used here at work this morning. My name is Louise. I 100% died. I was mortified. But now that story makes me laugh every single time and I love retelling it. Oh, that's funny.
That is so funny. Here's one from Mandy. She typed this out to me on Instagram. When I was freshly dating my husband, his sister had a boy coming from Canada to meet her family. We were having dinner at my mother-in-law's and the young man's back was turned. I walked right up thinking it was my husband and grabbed his butt. I almost died from embarrassment, but he eased the situation and said, okay, I guess that's how you welcome us Canadians to the USA. She said, the craziest thing, too, is I was just barely dating the man who is now my husband at the time. I still blush thinking of this in front of my mother-in-law. No worries, though. I am turning 50 in a few weeks, and it's a great memory to laugh at.
I love that. So good. Okay, this next one is from Michelle. And Michelle has been following me on Instagram for years. And so when I'm reading this for the first time and I'm imagining it, okay, first of all, set the scene. You're a mother. It's prom night. And you do the whole picture thing, okay? Everybody's dressed in their best. And the parents being there, it's kind of like obligatory, but it's
obligatory.
Obligatory. But it's kind of like it can be a little awkward for the kids having the parents.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe it's because it happened to me, but I'm pretty sure I can top anyone's embarrassing moment. It was my daughter's prom. She's all dressed up in her formal dress. The boyfriend is all decked out in his tux. We're at one of the school friends' home for pictures. Someone decides it would be a nice idea to go outside for some pictures. Now I fancy that I have fairly decent situational awareness. However, I learned this day that I absolutely do not. We walk outside and I'm walking across the patio to get to the yard for the pictures when I suddenly realize I am not walking on the patio. I am in fact walking across the pool cover for their in-ground pool. My first thought is, oh God, I'm going to go straight through this pool cover. All I can think of is that I have to go wide so as not to bust through the cover. So what do? I drop and go wide. So there I am, essentially laying on my stomach. Essentially laying on my stomach, trying to crawl off of this pool cover without drowning or without going through the pool cover. I cannot imagine what I must have looked like. And there stood my poor daughter, mortified. I wanted to evaporate right there. I'm far enough away from the situation now that it is actually quite funny.
That is so funny. All right, here's one from my friend Eric, Skyline Eric. This is so, he's told me that he tells the story so well. I'm not going to do it justice, but I'm going to read what he said. One time I was talking to one of my classes about my favorite Chinese food restaurant. I ended up really going harder into this than I first intended to. I kept talking up multiple places in town and was really slamming one particular place.
No.
It was nothing mean, just me saying that I really like the other places a lot better. The more I talked on this rant, the more I started to realize it was getting really awkward in my classroom. Mm-mm. I literally had to stop and say, "What's up?" Well, who would have guessed that a student I had in that class had parents who owned my least favorite Chinese restaurant in town. Luckily, the student was cool with it, and it became a joke with our class. The student then gave me a gift card for my Christmas gift so that we could go to the restaurant, which was awesome and hilarious. So my wife and I took the gift card, went to the restaurant, and that student from my class was actually our server. We had a great dinner, and it was very good. I told my student thanks, paid, used the gift card, and headed home. I was home for a while, and then I realized I forgot to tip the kid. So not only did I slam his parents' restaurant, but then he gave me a gift card to eat there for free, and the final nail in the coffin was me not even leaving a tip for him. So I drove straight back to the restaurant, incredibly embarrassed, and found that person and handed him a $20 bill and apologized all over again. That was really embarrassing.
That's so good.
That's a funny story.
I mean, that's also a great recovery.
That is a good recovery.
I mean, just to go do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Because it would be very easy to try to ignore it or to give the student the tip in the classroom, which would also feel very inappropriate, you know, to be handing
to do it right
cash
away. Yeah.
At school. But to do it right away, that was a good move.
Good move.
Okay. This is from Lauren. When my kids were little, I somehow butt dialed from a flip phone. How do you do that? Let me start over. When the kids were little, I somehow butt dialed 911.
Oh, no.
From a flip phone. How do you do that? And I had them on the line for like 3 minutes before realizing it. They sent out two officers who were slightly concerned.
Because
while on the line, through my back pocket, they thought they heard someone say something like, "You're not leaving here." Which I later realized was me saying to my son, "You're not playing Wii right now."
That is funny.
That's a good one.
Okay, here's my last one. And I'm actually, this person has been with us on the podcast forever. And she is so kind. And she left me a voicemail. And I'm sure we can all relate to this one. So listen to this.
This is funny.
Hey, Matt. Okay, so this is Melody Troll. My embarrassing story for your podcast is when I was in college, I played volleyball. And we had, in college volleyball, there was a new position called libero. She played in the back row. She never went to the front row. She had a very specialized position. It was super cool and super new. I was in my freshman composition class, and my professor knew I played volleyball, and he knew about this new position. And he asked me, "Oh, what is it called?" And I couldn't think of the word. But the word that I could think of was libido. Yes, I said libido in my freshman composition class in front of probably 50 other students. That was fun.
We've all been there, right? Oh, we've all said the wrong word.
Oh, that is so
But that's a good one.
Funny. That is a really good one. Now, you looked up some, before I read this last one, you looked up some stats on embarrassing things.
I did.
Tell us what they are.
Okay, you know what's so interesting is the idea of embarrassment is so subjective that there's not a lot of data around it. So I was looking for how frequently do we get embarrassed? What percentage of Americans deal with embarrassment? But a lot of the results that I came back with were that it's so subjective.
Well,
what
yeah,
we
because,
get embarrassed about.
Right, because what might embarrass me might not embarrass you.
Exactly.
What embarrasses you.
And, you know, really, embarrassment, this is kind of along the same vein as, like, shame.
Okay.
But embarrassment is truly a, you know, we hear the word social construct. It's truly a social construct. Like, being embarrassed is something that we've made up. So a lot of times our embarrassment comes from the different cultures that we have. You know, speaking of cultures, this is a funny one. And I know we have a friend, at least one friend in Australia, is I heard this story when I lived in Australia, is this American pastor. He and his wife were going to Australia and they were speaking at churches, and his wife fell in front of the whole church on her bottom, and she went, "Ow, my fanny." We know what fanny means,
yes.
But in Australia, that means your lady parts.
No.
So she essentially screamed in front of the church, "Ow, my hoo-ha."
Vagina?
Yeah. And so, you know, that wouldn't be embarrassing for someone to say, "Ow, my fanny," in America.
No,
but in Australia,
to say the V word in front of
that would be embarrassing.
Congregation.
Here's the other thing is embarrassment. You know, it's a construct because it depends on the social norms that we're in. You know, for my story, maybe there are some cultures where passing gas in front of your boss would actually be a level of comfort or respect. There are cultures, I've heard of this. There's cultures where burping after a meal is actually a respectful thing.
Yes.
Or that would be embarrassing
here.
Actually, we had a friend, Sarah, that wrote out that her and her husband, when they were just newly married, like they didn't have kids or anything, they were at a mall. Do you remember malls?
Yeah.
What malls are like?
My
kids think malls are the coolest thing ever because they've never really been to one. They were at a mall. She said it was like three stories open and a burp just flew out of her mouth. And she said it was like in the atrium and it reverberated. And she said all these heads whipped to her. And in some cultures, though, that is actually an acceptable thing to do. And the other thing.
I want to live in the culture. There's a culture that being a larger woman or a fluffy woman is like a good thing.
Yeah, that's like the Renaissance.
Yeah,
I want to
be there.
You want to be in the era of like chubby pale.
Yeah, I want to be in the
the chubby pale era is where I would
be in the era where they're like, "Oh, honey, you need to put on a few pounds."
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Okay,
give me a chocolate cake,
or give me Walnut Creek cheese and market cinnamon roll.
Give me a loaf of bread.
Give me the maple one.
Give me maple or give me." Don't come at all.
Yeah.
I think that's what you said.
Yeah, bring maple or don't come at all.
Here's the other thing that I think is really interesting is we know that embarrassment is a universal experience. We've all felt embarrassment or shame. I actually hate it when I see my kids get embarrassed for things that I don't think they should be embarrassed about. But,
part
of that is how we develop. It's how we grow. Really, when I was looking up some of the how embarrassment fits in our life is it has some neurological components. You know, some of the embarrassing is processing what happened to our body. You know, if we fall, we're embarrassed because we don't actually know how we feel to actually process that emotion. Some of it is just social pain. So I wonder how much some of our embarrassing stories, even though they're really fun and silly, they might make us think, "Ooh, I'm not going to do that again," or "I'm going to be more aware of something in the future."
Mm-hmm.
"I'm not going to pass gas openly in the workplace." And then the other thing that I think really brings me curiosity about the idea of embarrassment is it has to do with how we've evolved as a species. So this is what it said online, and I wrote it word for word because I won't be able to say it as well, is embarrassment actually helps us maintain group cohesion. So think about when we're hunters and gatherers and avoid negative social consequences. So that little point of embarrassment sometimes, it's evolutionary.
Like brings you together?
Not necessarily that, but I think it keeps us in check from, let's say we do something really stupid.
Yes, think about hunter and gatherers.
Yes. Let's say the guy leaves the gathering pack and he eats the red berries, and the red berries make him swell and like he gets a rash. And that's embarrassing to him. Well, it kind of teaches him, like, we're not doing that. And that keeps you safe. Okay, and that keeps you in the group.
Yes. Okay.
So some of that embarrassment stuff actually has positive consequences for how we interact with the world around us. But I think in our modern time, I don't see that personally as much. But I think
social media has played into that. I think a lot of people do crazy, embarrassing things. Like almost like clickbait, like do they do really outlandish or embarrassing things to almost get people to get people's attention, to get people to watch. So I think embarrassment now, I think it's more for really young people. I feel like really young people experience that, like your kids' age,
right?
Experience
that's
that
true embarrassment.
Yeah, that quicker than people your age, my age, because we are surrounded with people doing crazy outlandish things that are like, wait, what? And it's really more, it's about being embarrassing so that you get views or you get attention. Yeah.
Do you think that it's hard for us to bounce back from embarrassing things? Do you think that's hard for us?
Well, I think the reason you came up a little empty with research is because it really depends.
Yeah.
Like for me, when I get embarrassed, I just kind of roll with it.
I'm the same way.
I just roll with it, because to be like, to try to hide it or try to conceal it or try to make like it's not happening, just for my personality, it just seems to make it worse.
I agree.
So if I'm like, oh, oops, I burped, or oh my goodness, didn't mean to do that. Or, oh, one time I fell. Oh my word. I hit an uneven part of the sidewalk, and it was right next to a red light in downtown New Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. You know, right there on the square. And
you
all
fell
those,
in the square.
Yes, and all those cars are there. Everybody's at these stoplights, and I did a like all out bite the pavement. I could feel people gasping in their cars. You know, of like, I wonder if that sweet little fluffy lady is okay, because I hit the pavement hard.
Yeah.
And I laid there for a second. I was so embarrassed. Now, it wasn't the embarrassment like, ha, 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 what I did was funny. It was embarrassment like, everybody's looking at me. Mm-hmm. I am laying here on the pavement, and I have to lay here for a second just to assess
to get your bearings,
if I'm hurt.
Yeah.
Because my knees, I hit my knees so hard. And my hands, I kind of tried to brace myself.
Yourself. Yeah.
Thank goodness I didn't break anything, but I felt so embarrassed. And I got up, I gathered myself together, brushed myself off, but I purposely did not look at any of the cars to my left or straight ahead to me with drivers in them, because I knew they were all watching me. Mm-hmm. So I just got up and put my shoulders back and just walked right to my destination.
I'm actually surprised you didn't like do like a princess wave or like a yes.
Oh no, because I was hurting. I was like that hurt, and I still don't know if I'm gonna have swollen knees in the morning.
Well, I think at the end of the day, what the universal theme of embarrassment that I think is a positive thing is it's a shared experience. You know, all of the stories that we read, it's like a shared human experience. Yes. We've all switched words and said the wrong thing. You know, our friend Melody, who said libido, we've all said silly things in front of people or used the wrong word. Or I would assume other people have passed gas in front of places they didn't want to. I had a friend, Sarah, who is a friend of mine in real life here, and we both work in school districts, and we often go to meetings with like lawyers that talk about school litigation and curriculum and stuff from the state. And we were in a meeting together, and her phone started ringing. And for whatever reason, on this day, it was ringing, my milkshake brings all the bite to the yard. And she was, Sarah's not an embarrassed type, but she definitely got some looks that day. But I think we've all been there. You know, we've all been there, we've made the noise that wasn't necessarily socially appropriate.
Right.
And so I think no matter how much data we get, what I appreciate about embarrassment and what I think is a positive thing about it is it really does unite people, because we know that feeling.
Right.
We know the feeling.
Right.
And I think it helps us unite together and it helps us truly develop a sense of humor where as we experience more moments, you know, as we get older and we, you know, right. hopefully go through those high school and college years, we really learn to laugh at ourselves
yes.
and not take ourselves
yes.
too seriously.
Yes.
And I think that's the uniting thing.
And I do love when it becomes like, it's the story you tell like around a table.
I know.
It just makes me giggle. Okay. Here's the last one that I have.
I'm so excited.
And it's from Yvonne. First day on the new job.
I already love it.
Of course, nerves are running high, and I have to use the bathroom.
Oh, no.
And had to go number two.
Yvonne.
I went into the bathroom, dropped off the kids at the pool.
Oh.
And flushed. Well, the toilet decided to reject my request to flush.
Oh, denied.
So I waited, and I tried to flush again. Mm. Well, that didn't work either.
Oh, Yvonne.
Knowing in my mind that there was no chance in hell, I was going to let anyone know on my first day of the job that I needed a plunger stat. So I had to do the inevitable. And with all the might I could muster.
No, Yvonne, don't do it. Yvonne.
With all the might I could muster, I reached.
Yvonne.
I reached my hand down
Yvonne.
Into the toilet to unclog the toilet paper to get it. To say that I was disgusted is an understatement.
Yvonne.
I think I have only ever told one other person this story because I was so embarrassed. And I put, oh my gosh, can I read this on the podcast and only share your first name? And she said, yep, 100% you can read it on the podcast. And I hope it gives people a giggle or two.
Yvonne, I knew you were going to do it, Yvonne. I hope that it is cathartic for you to share that because I appreciate you sharing that with us and our podcast family.
Well, she didn't want to be known as the pooper plunger lady.
No.
Her very first day of work.
No. Yvonne. I mean, well, thank
how
you for
brave
trusting
of you.
Us. Thank you.
So brave.
There's so much bravery
so
in that.
So much bravery in that confession. Hey, Matt.
Let's talk about food.
Okay.
Oh, this is serious.
Well, I have to say that Walnut Creek Cheese and Market it's the retail store of the parent brand called Walnut Creek Foods.
Right.
So in your town, wherever you live, you may have Walnut Creek Foods products in your grocery stores.
You might not even know it.
You might not even know it.
No.
So you can go to walnutcreekfoods.com. You can put in their locator. They have a locator page on their
put
website.
Put in your little zippy zip.
Put in your zip code and find if there are Walnut Creek Foods products in your area. But at the store, they have a spice section that is just so big and vast,
mm-hmm.
and they sell spices by like the bulk. So
that's right.
Yeah. So there is something there that I absolutely love using.
Mm.
And I put it on every meat dish that I use. Mm. And it's meat tenderizer. All it says on the container in the spice section at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, it says meat tenderizer. It looks like cream of tartar. It looks like cream of tartar or baking soda.
Hmm.
And if I do
I have never used this.
If I do a pot roast, if I do pan fried baked chicken, if I do pork tenderloin, I sprinkle it all over the piece of meat when I marinate it for like a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it really helps tenderize whatever cut of meat that is. It is absolutely the best stuff.
I'm a little bit conflicted about what to say because you've never shared this with me.
I don't know why.
We've been friends for a long time.
Well, here we are.
And you know I cook. So
love the stuff.
What's the matter? Hey, we'll get you some meat tenderizer. Mm-hmm. Listen, like Leanne said, online, they have a store locator where you can find those products. Mm-hmm. So they might not have all the products. I have a friend, when we visit Disney, Danielle, she has a little corner grocery store right around the corner from her house.
Oh, yeah.
They have like pickles and mushrooms and asparagus.
These stores are not going to have every single thing that Walnut Creek Cheese and Market sells. And listen, that's because when you come to Amish country, Ohio's Amish country, you have to go to that store.
That's right. It's special.
I mean, it really is special. And they just have so much stuff. They started out, Matt, back in the day.
Yes.
Way back when. I'm going to say late 80s, early 90s. Mm. It was early 90s.
When I was just a wee lad.
Yes. Walnut Creek Cheese was a small store that's now a church. They moved from that location. And then when they moved to the new location, it was so big. Everybody's like, look how big.
Yeah.
They have added on to that location, I think, two or three times. And it is so big and wonderful. And one thing that I love that they did that they did not have at the beginning is their dry goods section. Like, I would have to go to Walnut Creek Cheese and buy some of my groceries and then go to, say, a big box store to buy my Bounty and buy my toilet paper and buy my napkins and buy my foil. Mm. Now you can go to Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, and you can do it all. You can buy it all. I love it there. I love it. And I love their team.
I do too. Hey, well, thank you to those out there that shared their embarrassing stories. You made us laugh.
Yes.
And I hope that you, if you have a story similar, that you saw yourself in that and you said, hey, I'm not alone.
Yes, we're in this together. Yes,
we all do silly things.
Yes.
So thanks for sharing those stories with us. Hey, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods. Thank you.